Here we go, recording in progress. Well, hello everybody once again. Thank you for joining us for our Going Deeper into Revelation. For those of you who were here in the last event, we talked about, you know, year 5784, what it meant, what we should expect, and always with the goal of, you know, what's current, what's happening, where are we in the world, what's happening prophetically. Trying to see, you know, what is the Lord doing? What's happening in the world? Why is it relevant? And it's kind of, and you know, what revelation the Lord has given me. And so tonight, I do want to speak a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas. It's all over the news. There's two sides of the story. You know, I have a very good friend that lives in my community. We've touched base many times on you know, we have a Facebook page here in our little community where we live, and the other day he put up a thing that says I stand with Palestinians. So you know, so and it's just things are just, there's so much to do, and a lot of noise going on, and so we need to cut through that and find out exactly what is going on, and you know, what how, why is that important. Give me a disclaimer: I am not a scholar on eschatology. I'm not an end time prophet teacher. There's others who can teach that better than I can. Although I did do a course on the end times. It was a six video lesson course on the end times. But tonight I'm not really going to go into eschatology and prophetic end times. I want to speak more on what's happening, why it's happening, what's behind all of this. And yeah, it does have prophetic undertones and prophetic meaning as to where we are in the end, so I will address that. But in order to understand what's going on, we need to know what's behind everything, and how is this thing playing out. And that's what I really want to get into tonight. And then at the end, you know, we'll talk about prophetically, you know, why that's important. But you know, they said, if you've been following the news, you know, this is something that's been planned for over 2 years now, the attacks. It's a brand new level of evil. You know, Hamas came in and just started attacking civilians. If you read the stories, they just started butchering people in the streets, going into people's houses, murdering kids in front of the parents, murdering parents in front of the kids, decapitating babies. It's demonic, right? And so obviously Israel, you know, is on the defense. They had to defend themselves. They have to defend themselves. And the Bible does speak for us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right, but what does that mean? What is peace? Right, a little illustration so we can kind of wrap our heads around what's happening. You know, when I was young, I was a teenager, and again, you gotta excuse me, I got a little bit of a cold here. I really hit it off pretty good with a lot of my religion teachers and that, you know, that religious group. I grew up Catholic, and they were, you know, I guess hippies that came to the Lord, they were Catholic, and so we were into peace. So I went into, you know, peace marches in Toronto, Ottawa, New York. We traveled, you know, with the signs, you know, peace, you know, get rid of the cruise missile and peace through love and the whole thing, right? Because that's kind of the group that I was with, right? And our idea of peace was getting rid of the cruise missile, everybody getting rid of their weapons, because, you know, back then, both the United States, they still had come out of the Cold War. They're kind of towards the end of that. United States and Russia could destroy the world 30 times over. Once is fine, my way 30 times over, but that's how many weapons they had. So let's get rid of all these weapons and we'll have peace. A friend of mine whose name is Danny, he was into the cadets, you know, the army, the reserves and all that. And he would say peace through superior firepower. And that's how you maintain peace. And so we had these interesting conversations, right? And again, I didn't really understand a whole lot back then. I was young, naive, right? But it made sense. Peace through superior firepower, because if you're a nation and you want peace, if you have more arms and weapons than the other nations, then you're going to have that peace. And that's kind of what's going on here, is Israel has the right not only to defend itself, but to conquer and strike back. And, you know, if you've seen the news, presidents and prime ministers of all other nations were saying, yeah, Israel's got the right to defend itself and even to, you know, to conquer and fight back. And there's something deceptive about that. I'll get into that. But it's no surprise that Iran is behind Hamas, right? If you talk about peace, why don't you just, talk it out? Why don't you just talk to Iran and talk to Hamas and just kind of work out your problems? Well, you really cannot negotiate with a nation that says you don't have a right to exist. Iran has been public many times saying that they want to wipe Israel right off the map, right off the face of the earth. So you can't negotiate with someone like that, right? And the only way Israel can protect itself is through superior firepower, fighting back, having the willingness to fight and to defend itself. But not only like to defend itself, but to conquer and to, to strike back and kind of pay back, if you want to use that term, to show them that they cannot be pushed, right? And, speaking prophetically, the Bible speaks of this, okay? That in the end times, there's going to be distress of the nations, right? Nation will rise up against nation. Kingdom will rise up against kingdom, right? And so we begin to see that, you look at the aggression of China against Taiwan. They're a military superpower. They're a economic superpower. A lot of the new warfare is done online, cyber attacks, and they're at the head of that, right? Then you see, the continued war with Ukraine and Russia, and now the conflict here in the Middle East with Hamas and Israel and Iran, and that's all ramping up. Escalations, nation against nation. You're going to see a ramp up. It's going to be increased more and more and more. And Matthew 24, in Matthew 24, 25, talks about the end times. That really ties into Revelation chapter 6, and I'll get into that in a bit. Jesus says that when these things begin to happen, actually, he says that in Matthew 24, 25, he talks about the end times, talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'll get into that. And all the things that are going to happen towards the end. And it really clear in like two chapters. Luke doesn't deal a lot with it, but it kind of
We'll
does.
watch,
But in
period.
Luke,
Had a great call with
it
Elena.
says
All good,
that
period.
when these things begin to happen, look up. When what things? When these things, when the escalations, the nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom, when you see all the stuff beginning to ramp up, and as we get closer to the end, when these things begin to happen. Not when they happen, when they begin to happen, which is beginning now, look up. Why? Because your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption draws near. So Jesus says near. So we know that we are coming near the end because of these things that are beginning to happen. So what can we as a people do? Well, we know we pray, right? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for those lost their loved ones. Pray for the Palestinians. They need the Lord too, right? Many of them are in the middle of a war that they did not even want, and it's because of their leaders, right? And so as this thing began to happen, and Hamas came in and attacked all the civilian people, and like I said, they were just being demonic about it. They would come in, they would kill kids in front of the parents. They went into people's houses, they butchered babies, they decapitated babies, and they gloated, and they publicly saying, "Look what we did," and it's like that's demonic. It's a new level of evil. Okay, and so the people are stuck now because in the Gazas where they came in from, Israel is going to attack the Gaza Strip, and we see that in the news now, all the buildings, the bombs, and everything, and the Palestinian people are stuck in a place where they can't get out. They need food, they need water, they need hospital, they need aid that they're not getting because the block. The only way they can get out is through Egypt. Okay, and that is blocked. And at the beginning, people say, "Well, it's Israel, right? Israel's, blowing up all the Gaza Strip, and they're closing the door so the people can't exit, and that makes Israel look bad." I'll get into that, but it's not the case because Israel told the people, "You guys got to get up because we're about to bomb this place." And it was actually initially it was Hamas that was blocking the access to Gaza, so the people could not get out. Why? They don't want them to get out because they want to use their own people as human shields, okay? So that when Israel comes in and attacks, right? excuse me, all of a sudden Israel's going to look bad. And that's what, that's a whole part of the deception, all right? That they're trying to create a picture where Israel looks bad for what they're doing, and they're just fighting back to protect, the attacks that they had against them, their own country. They're fighting back, but the enemy's trying to make it look like Israel is the bad guy, and I'll get more into that. Now, the Bible clearly speaks, Matthew 24, 25, especially, what we can expect at the end, right? Wars and rumors of wars and deception and all that. And he talks about that being birth pains, like when a woman gives birth at the beginning. If anybody's here who's had a baby, you have those contractions and those contractions begin to come more quicker and more intense. And this is at the place where we are now. We're entering into the place of birth pains, right? We're not at the end. What's happening now prophetically doesn't mean we're in the end, but we're coming there, right? But this is just a season that we're in. But if you follow Matthew 24, the first thing Jesus, when his disciples asked, you know, what is the sign of your coming? Like, what's going to happen? And the first thing that Jesus said is, be careful that you're not deceived. And so one of the key things that's going to happen now, especially as we see this happening, once you know the truth, is deception is reigning. Okay, that's the key to this conflict, is deception. All right. And it's going to lead to something I'll get to in a minute. And, you know, as once tribulation hits, then we have, you know, the Jesus in Revelation chapter 6, which actually Jesus refers to Matthew 24 about the six seals or the seven seals in Revelation chapter 6. Then we see, you know, the white horse, and that's, you know, conquest. That's the Antichrist that comes in with a bow with no arrows. So he's preaching peace, but he's going to make war. The red horse, again, it's war. The red horse is bloodshed. Many people dying right now. Thousands already have died in this war right now. Then you have the black horse, which is famine. After war, there's always going to be famine, shortage of food. And then the green horse is death. So by the time this happens, in the first 3 years of the tribulation, you're going to lose 25% of the world's population. All right. So that's where we're headed. But we're in the place of the birth pains, where now we see greater deception that's beginning to occur, especially right now. It's not so bad, but the tables are going to turn, and I'll get to that in a second. These are signs of the end times, not the end times, but signs. And the Bible does say that the end time events would revolve around Jerusalem or the Middle East. Everything that's going to happen in the end is going to happen around the Middle East, specifically Jerusalem. Okay, God is going to make it a cup of trembling. And so Israel becomes our barometer. Whatever happens in Israel, you're going to see that that's prophetically things are beginning to ramp up, because everything's going to happen in that part, in the Middle East, and especially in, you know, in Jerusalem. Now, I want to get into the military strategy that's being endorsed here or used by Iran, because this is where the deception comes in. And unless we understand this, you're not going to understand why Hamas even bothered to attack Israel, okay? But if you think about it, we've all seen the map. It's on Facebook. People have put it up. You know, Israel is just a little speck in a sea of Muslim nations, of Islam nations, right? Israel's the size of what? New Jersey, right? But if you blow up, if you zoom out and you see Egypt and Africa, and then you see all the Middle East, all these countries surrounding Israel, Israel's like a little speck. It's like, it's nothing. So you wonder, why, if all these Islam nations hate Israel, many of them want Israel eradicated, why haven't they done it? Why haven't they all said, you know what, let's just get this thing over with. Let's just all, you know, hold hands. We'll all our military, and we'll just bomb the heck out of Israel. We'll just wipe them off. Why haven't they done that? They've tried. Different countries have tried. But, you know, Israel's got the Iron Dome and all that. The IDF was very, you know, one of the most military advanced organizations in the world, and surveillance and all that. But Islam have wanted Israel eradicated, all right? But they haven't done it. I mean, they're greatly outnumbered. Well, Israel is the most militarily advanced nation in the world, okay? Especially in the Middle East as well. The Iron Dome, if you've seen the news, the rockets are coming down, lasers coming out of the heavens, just wiping out all these missiles before it even hits the ground, right? And so Israel is really the military power of the Middle East, okay? And they have the support of all the nations of the world. Like, you know, Joe Biden went over there, talked to him, said, hey, we're with you. As a matter of fact, there are two aircraft carriers right now in the right off the sea right there in the Mediterranean. And the United States is saying, because everybody knows Iran is behind this, right? Don't get involved. Don't do anything dumb, because we're here and we're not going to let anything happen. We're with Israel. And all the nations of the world right now are with Israel, right? So it really makes no sense that Hamas would even dare to attack Israel, knowing that they are a military superpower, that all the nations of the world, of the Muslim nations, have not been able to conquer them. As a matter of fact, it's interesting if you read back in Genesis, when Eleazar is sent by Abraham back to Haran to his, you know, to his late Laban's house, right, to get a bride for Isaac, which happens to be Rachel. When she's about to leave, they pray over her, and in that prayer, there was a prophetic word that was declared over Rachel, and Laban prayed and said, "May you and your children possess the gates and the lands of your enemies." And that's exactly what's happened. They possess the gates of all the nations around them. So that's God prophesied even at the beginning, that's what was going to happen. But anyways, Israel is a military superpower, with its technology. And obviously, you know, we know God is on their side, of course, right? But militarily, they have not been able to do anything. And they've tried bombing. Israel always comes out of it because they're a military superpower. Hamas is just an evil organization. They're a terrorist group. They're a bunch of thugs. I mean, Hamas trying to come in and do something like provoke Israel or fight against Israel, it's like El Salvador trying to cross the border of Mexico and to proclaim war on the United States. I mean, it's ludicrous. These guys are just a bunch of thugs. It's a small military terrorist group compared to the superpower that Israel is. Okay. And so you ask yourself, whatever possessed Hamas to even try to pick a fight with Israel when all the other nations have not been able to do it or even scathe it or even scratch the surface? Why are a bunch of thugs, it's all they are really, when you look at the bigger picture, why did they even bother attacking Israel? Okay. And this is important, right? Well, Hamas doesn't control itself. Hamas is controlled by Iran. Iran is calling the shots. They're not going to admit it. There's no leaked emails, no proof that it's them, but everybody knows that it's Iran. They're the ones that supply all the weapons and all the training, and they're the ones that told them, okay, do this, okay? And Iran knows that it cannot defeat Israel. They know they can't defeat it. So why even provoke a fight? Why even get Hamas to even go in and lose on purpose? Right? Because there's protocols in war. Because if you're going to wage war, wage the good warfare, right? In council, there's wisdom for war, right? If you are going to go in, you want to attack the enemy, right? You want to take over. There's certain things you need to do, right? Like in a military conquest. For example, if any nation goes into another nation or to another group and they want to take over, the first thing you take out is communication, right? You take communications, you control the airwaves, you know, you stop communication between the other, between the army or the people in that nation or that kingdom. Now they can't communicate because you've taken over communication, right? Next thing you do is you destroy, you capture military installments, military target, because the more you take out the other military, the weaker they're going to be, the stronger you're going to become, right? And you stop the flow of supplies, gas and food and all that, to cripple the other army, right? There's a process to winning a war. There's a process to winning a fight. Right. That's what happened in Germany with, you know, Montgomery, you know, and Rommel, the Desert Fox, out in World War II. You know, the Germans lost not because they were inferior, not because, you know, they got outsmarted by the British. Is the British cut off the supplies. So there was no more gas. The tanks stopped in the middle of the desert. So they lost. Right. So there's protocols and strategies to winning a war that Hamas and Iran care nothing about. OK. Right. If you want to win a war, these are the things that you need to do, but they didn't do it, right? They forced their way into Israel, butchered innocent people, put it out in the media, decapitating babies. I mean, it's demonic. Why did they do it? And they didn't even attempt to secure military victory. Why? Especially, again, because they're in deep water, right? Because according to armed conflict, there's distinctions that have to be made, right? So for example, A principle of distinction means anytime there's an armed conflict, you cannot attack civilians, okay? You can't use them as human shields. That's just part of distinction that the whole world recognizes, that anytime there's any war, there's any armed conflict, you cannot touch civilians. That's called a principle of distinction. And then the second one is a principle of proportionality. That means in case, you know, civilians are involved sooner or later in a war, civilians are going to die. That's just the way it is, okay? But, you know, you have to keep the damage to a maximum extent, or the collateral damage like incidental damage, collateral damage, has to be kept to a very minimum. Even though civilians may die, the objective is always military. It's always the army. It's always other soldiers, right? And if civilians are going to die, you have to keep that to a minimum. That's a principle of proportionality, right? As a matter of fact, when using excessive force or using humans or butchering civilians is actually a war crime. And so anybody who orders those attacks, they will go before the world courts and be tried and be hanged or whatever, right? There's protocols that need to be followed in war, and Hamas and Iran could care less. That's important to know, right? If you want to defeat the enemy, there's certain protocols and strategy you have to adopt, and these guys are doing none of them, right? They don't care about breaking the international law. They don't care about war crimes, right? They perpetuated this heinous attack on innocent babies and people, right? As a matter of fact, Netanyahu said, you know, they're going to fight you until we wipe you out, right? Because they're back on the offensive, right? And here's the thing. Iran knows that it cannot win the war. If it fights Israel, they're not going to win. They've tried. It's not going to happen. So they got to use deception. They got to use other strategies. So that's why they made Hamas go in and do this. Why? The more heinous, the more evil the attacks are to civilians, butchering, decapitating babies. Obviously, I mean, the more anger and the Israelites are going to feel. I mean, one thing to attack soldiers, because that's what soldiers do. They fight. But there's another thing to attack innocent people. And not only do they attack innocent people, but the way they did it in such an evil, demonic, heinous way made the blood of the Israelites boil, that now they're coming back in a vindictive way with vengeance to wipe out Hamas and take out the Gaza Strip. And that is exactly what Iran wants. That's the whole, that's the deception right there. They want to lure Israel into a war where Israel now goes overboard, not only in defending itself, but in retaliating, where a lot of bloodshed, a lot of lives are going to be lost. Then now the world's going to take notice. Wait a minute. Yeah, you got slapped in the face. You slapped them back. Okay, great. No, but why are you continuing? Why are you killing innocent people, right? That's the whole point. I mean, they want to draw Israel into a battle where innocent Palestinians die. And we've seen this before. You see the cameras on the street. This is eye candy to the international media. Here's Israel bombing the Gaza Strip, and you see these dead Palestinian babies, and the parents are crying that, you know, look what Israel did to my baby. And the more this happens, the more this progresses, the more Israel begins to attack, the more Israel is going to look like the bad guy. That's the whole point of what this is all about. They want to draw and lure Israel into an all-out war because of such a heinous crime and such a heinous thing that the that Hamas did, that now they're coming back with a vengeance, that now they're going to destroy every last Hamas operative, destroy buildings, people have no food, they're going to starve, sickness, disease, civilians die, little Palestinian children die, and Israel is going to look bad on national TV, and they're going to be seen as a true monster that Israel is. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the universities and colleges in the United States, even in Canada, a lot of students are now freedom fighting, Palestinian freedom fighters. We're fighting, we're with Palestine. Israel is evil. Look what they're doing. And it's all to begin to ramp up this hatred for Israel. And they're just basically defending themselves and trying to destroy those that destroyed them, right? But the whole point of Iran is they know that they cannot win against Israel in the normal way of war. So they're trying to turn the script and turn the table on Israel. And the more they get drawn into war, the more this lingers on, the more people die, they're going to see that Israel really is a monster that's killing innocent people. That's the whole point of this war, right? And if and when Israel does lose support of all the nations of the world, that's when Israel gets in trouble. Now Iran can come in, or the Muslim nations can come in, because now nobody's going to come to Israel's aid because they're the monsters and everybody's going to back up. Nobody's going to defend Israel, and now the Iran and Tehran and Libya and all these countries can come in, attack Israel, and finally wipe them off the face of the earth. Now, we know that's not going to happen because God is on their side, but that is what they're pushing for, right? Right now, If you read the entire, again, going back to end time prophecy, because this is a prophetic event that's part of the beginning. Okay. The Bible does say, and I'll read it in a minute, that there will come a time when all the nations of the world will turn on Israel. All the nations of the world are going to turn on Israel. And that's when the attacks are going to come. Iran, we'll get into this too. Russia is going to come in, right? And it's not going to be pretty because God's going to wipe them out. Once nobody's there to help Israel, God's going to wipe everybody out, right? And you're going to see that. But know and understand that prophetically, we are very near the end. When these things begin to happen, look out for your redemption draws nigh. Israel is being drawn into, lured into a war it did not want to fight because they have, I mean, they've made peace with some of the nations around them. They have, right now, the Democrats and the Republicans have come to the, we got to protect Israel. But sooner or later, leftist governments are going to rise up and say, enough is enough. These guys are monsters. It's going to start to turn the tables and things are going to go very bad. Things are going to go south for Israel very quickly. Watch it as the United Nations begin to condemn Israel for what they're doing. Okay, but that's the whole point to this. All right. Right now, the world is sympathetic to Israel because of all the crimes committed to them. It's almost like the world is sympathetic to dying Jews. Right. But sooner or later, watch United Nations, leftist governments all over the world are going to start questioning what Israel is doing. And they're going to lose the favor of the world because really this is all about Iran. It's not about Hamas. It's about Iran. OK. And the plan that Iran wants to do. All right. Now, if you get your Bibles, I'm going to read something from Zechariah, chapter 12, verses 1-3. OK. It says chapter 12, verses 1-3, Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness or trembling to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. Again, there's a siege. There's that war. And it shall happen, verse 3, in that day, that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. See, there it is. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3 says that what's going to happen, God is going to make Jerusalem, like I said, end time events will revolve around Israel, around the Middle East, especially Jerusalem. And it says here in verse 2, that God's going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to the nations surrounding peoples, which are the Muslim nations. Okay, make it a heavy stone. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. There's going to come a time when all the nations of the world are going to turn against Israel. And when that happens, then we're going to have full-out war. Now, what does it mean by all nations of the world? Well, nations does not necessarily mean countries. I don't know how many countries there are in the world, 150 countries, I don't know. But it talks about ethnic groups, right? And if we can admit it, the world is not controlled by countries, it's controlled by United Nations, right? So when the United Nations turns on Israel, then you can tell that we're pretty close to the end. Okay, now, the Bible says also that God was going to scatter his people, which he did, right? But that he would bring them back to their land. Now, this happened, we know, in 1948, right? May 14th, when God brought Israel back, they became a nation, 1948. And that's when the prophetic time clock began to tick, right? And it's been ticking ever since. The Bible says in the last days that Israel will be attacked from the north by a nation identified as Magog, Gog and Magog. Now, I'll get into that in a little bit, but many scholars, I'm not a scholar, but I believe this too. Many scholars believe that Russia is Magog. Okay. Look at Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Ezekiel 38, it says verse 2-3. As the son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Right? And so here he's saying, I am against you, Gog. So God is raising up all these nations, all these peoples that are going to be coming against Israel. Now, further on in verse 15 and 16, again, talking about Gog and Magog, it says, then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, great company of a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nation may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Okay? And so we are going to see a nation called Magog, which many believe to be Russia, okay, coming up against Israel in the end days, and it says here on the latter days. Now, interesting here, and I'll read this in another portion of scripture in a bit. I'll go back to Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 4 and on, where it says that one of the allies of Magog is Persia. All right, who's Persia? Persia is the ancient name of Iran. Right, so thousands of years ago, it was prophesied that Russia and Iran would become allies. And this has happened in the last year where they have become allies. As a matter of fact, this is a new war for us. In the last year and a bit, we've been stuck on Russia and Ukraine, the Ukrainian war. Russia attacked Ukraine, right? Russia has been using weaponized drones to attack Ukraine. Where did those weaponized drones come from? From Iran. Iran gave them to Russia. So there's this ally, okay, this alliance that's happening between Russia and Iran that's prophesied thousands of years ago that in the end times you would see this unholy union of Iran and Russia, or Magog and Persia. And again, many people believe that Magog is Russia. So again, prophetically, we see this time clock. These things are beginning to fall into place. As God said thousands of years ago, this is what's going to happen. And now it's like a chess game. All the pieces are being moved into place, right? So we know that somehow Russia is behind this. And there's going to be a time when Russia itself is going to come against Israel in the latter times. Okay, so we know that Bible prophecy is being, well, Bible is being prophesied, and the prophecy is coming alive right before our eyes. Okay, now I'm not saying, like I said at the beginning, I'm not saying that this session today is about end time prophecy. That look, this is exactly what's going to happen. We're in the end. No, we're not in the end. When these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. So it means now we're drawing nigh. It's not like this has just happened over the last couple of years, because in 1948, when Israel came into its nation, okay, that's when the prophetic time clock began to tick, and it's ticking even quicker and quicker and quicker. Okay, I'm not saying that Jesus is about to open up the seven seals, but we're headed there. Important to know, and I'll get to this in a second, this is not man's doing. God is in control. God, this didn't take God by surprise. God is actually the one that's engineering all of this, right? So wait a minute, this is God? Yeah, it's God. How could I say this is God? Because this is his plan. I remember talking to Pastor Maeve months ago, and when things started to happen with ex-Ukraine and all this, you know, the one world government, all, you know, all this corruption. I can't remember exactly what the thing was, but we were talking about the end times. And she said she was praying. She said, Lord, you know, this, we got to put a stop to this, you know, praying. And God told her, don't pray for that, because what I have written is going to happen. So we can't change what's going to happen. We can't change how fast it's going to happen. God has a time clock. He has an everlasting plan. And God is the one that's in control. God is not the one that's causing the war, but he's allowing it by putting the pieces into place. And we're going to see that God is the one that engineers exactly at the right time what's going to happen. Okay? Now, something else. Many prophetic voices don't believe that this Hamas thing is a one-and-done deal. They believe that, there's a prophetic voice that I spoke to said, you know, God, this isn't thus saith the Lord, but I believe we're going to see attacks from the north, and Iran is going to want to lure Israel into an all-out war. And we saw that happen days ago or last week. All of a sudden, Hezbollah is now in the picture. Hezbollah is another terrorist organization, and they're in the north, right where Libya is. And they've started to send missiles. They have 150,000 missiles that they want to fire on Israel. Now, Hamas, again, like I said, they're in the grand scheme of this, they're thugs. They're like a gang, right? They got rudimentary weapons. The missiles that they have are point and shoot. That's it. Israel's over there. Let's point it, you know, light the match, and off it goes. And wherever it lands, right? Maybe we do our math right, find the trajectory, the wind. Okay, off it goes, right? As a matter of fact, one of these missiles misfired and went way haywire and almost destroyed one of its own hospitals. And the world went crazy that Israel is bombing the hospitals. It wasn't Israel. It was one of their own missiles. But they have very rudimentary weapons. Hezbollah, on the other hand, has precision missiles with precision guidance. It means they can zero in on specific targets and guide the missiles. They got 150,000 of these missiles. Now, Hezbollah has been getting involved. And Netanyahu has told him, listen, if you get involved, it's going to be the biggest mistake you've ever made. In other words, he's threatening Hezbollah. And that's what Iran wants. They want Israel to get hot in the collar, to get angry, and to start to bring war and destruction. Why? With the final plan that Israel looks like the monster it is, killing innocent Palestinians. These guys are Zionists that came into the country, displaced all the Palestinians that were living there, and they took over. And they're monsters to begin with. And now that is the script. That is what Iran is trying to do by bringing in Hamas, by bringing in Hezbollah to get under their skin so that Israel can begin to do all-out war and bombing and destroy people left, right, and center. And the world will see these guys are nuts. These guys are psychopaths. These guys are killing everybody, killing children. And Israel's going to look bad. It's going to lose the support of the nations, of the countries. It's going to lose the support of the United Nations. And they're going to be condemned. And like I said, when I read here in Zechariah, or also in Ezekiel, that all the nations will turn against Israel. When that happens, pack your bags because it's over. Once all the nations of Israel, all the enemies of Israel, all the nations of the world turn against Israel and Israel has no allies left, that's when you're going to see the attacks come in. That's when you're going to see Russia come in. And the Bible says that God is going to, out of heaven, he's going to destroy all of them. And it's going to take 7 years for them to bury all the dead bodies because of the carnage that God is going to cause all these nations that are attacking his people. Right. But again, it's all written in the book. We know this is exactly what's going to happen. Okay. Again, Iran is trying to draw Israel into an all-out war with a purpose to make them look bad, to lose the favor of the nations. But again, God is in full control. All right. God is in control of everything. Okay. So now it begs this question. Why did these events even happen? Why did this war even occur? I have 3 points here. You know, God is not the author of evil, but God allows evil. Read the book of Jeremiah. God continue. You know, I mean, I'm reading Jeremiah. I'm reading Ezekiel. You know, set your face against Israel. Tell them you abominations, a harlotry, all of this. Now I'm bringing this over your head because of all your abominations. But there was a purpose for that. Okay. But one of the reasons that, and I think I was listening to Ron Cantor, one of the reasons that this happened was Israel got lax. They got really lazy because Israel is beginning to make friendship with the nations around them. They have peace with some of these Muslim nations, and Saudi Arabia was the next one, and they have a very good relationship. Don't know where that's going to go now, but they got very lax. Because before, I mean, these guys, they were intelligent. They knew everything. The CIA, I mean, these guys are the most advanced organization in surveillance and spies and all that. But according to what I heard, this attack had been planned for 2 years and caught them totally off guard because they got lax because they were at peace, knowing that these nations were around them. Number two, God is not the author of evil, but he allows it. Why? Because he wants his people to come back to him. Again, the nation of Israel is cold, you know, when in the things of the Lord and the things of religion, the things of worship to God, you know, and of course, they don't know the Messiah. Every time God has allowed evil, it's always with a heart to bring his people back to him. So God allowed this to happen again so that, you know, the people can come back to the Lord. But number three, and the most important one, is that it's all moving according to God's divine timetable. And this is the thing I want to leave you with, is that God is moving all the pieces into place. God is in full control. Listen to this, Ezekiel 38, verses 4 through 6. I will turn you around, talking about Gag and Magog. I will turn you around. I will put hooks in your jaw and lead you out with all your army horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, all of them with shields and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you. Gomer, actually, it says here, Gomer and all your troops. Gomer is actually southern Russia, where you have Kazakhstan in that area. Persia's Iran, you got Egypt. You know, Egypt here, when it talks about Ethiopia, it's not talking about Ethiopia of today. It's talking of basically Egypt and Libya, okay? So in the end days, all these nations are going to rise up against Israel and attack. But the interesting thing here is that God said, I will put hooks in your mouth and I will draw you out. In other words, it's not so much that the devil is doing this. God is the one that's doing this. God is the one putting the pieces into place so that his so that the people will follow his divine timetable for the end times. So we're at the beginning of the end. That's what I believe. We're not at the end. Jesus is not going to open up the seals tomorrow. Tribulation is not going to happen next week. You can rest assured, relax. You know, it's not going to happen. I don't believe we will see tribulation for another maybe 7 years. I don't know. It could be like 7 years-ish, right? But we are in the beginning of the birth pains. We are at the beginning where Jesus says, when these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Okay, that's the prophetic thing that I want to leave you with. The nations are slowly going to turn as you begin to see all the nations. Enough's enough. Israel, stop it. But again, they're going to keep pressing on Israel, and Israel's going to be keep fighting back. And the tables are going to turn. The script is going to turn, and Israel's going to be made to look like the bad guy, right? And once they lose the favor of the people and the favor of the nations, now nobody's going to come to their aid to save them. Now your Irans and your Libyas can come in, your Tehrans, and you know, they can come in and they can attack Israel and destroy Israel. And that's exactly what they want to do, for make to make Israel look bad, so that, you know, they can come in all at once. But God is the one that's going to bring them in, not them. God is going to put it in their hearts. Now is the time to attack. He's going to put hooks in their mouth and draw them out. So prophetically, what's happening? God is setting up the chessboard. God is setting the pieces into place. God has put in his game plan into operation. God is now starting the end time plan of the Antichrist, the tribulation. But these things must happen. It's like a cone. All these things are going to happen so that there's actually no way out. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the unrest of the nations, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, where there's no way out but this way. And God is the one that's doing it. Okay. Israel and Hamas, Hezbollah and Israel, it's not a sign of the end, but it's an important sign of the end of times, because God is strategically moving his pieces into place. And this confirms how close we really are to the end, right? If you were to ask me, hey, Miguel, you know, what do you think about this Hamas thing? Prophetically, in the end time clock, what do you see prophetically? How does this fit into the prophetic time clock of the end? Well, I would say it's the beginning of the end. Jesus said that when these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption draws near. Redemption is when Christ comes back in the second coming. You know, when he comes back to rapture and take his people, then he comes back and makes an end and sets up his 1,000-year kingdom, the millennial kingdom. We're very near. when these things begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. Our redemption is close. God is moving these pieces into place. Israel is going to start feeling the pressure of the attacks and losing favor with the world, leftist governments. And, you know, look at the United States, the colleges, the universities, you know, freedom fighting. Palestinians are freedom fighters, or those Jews are, they're Zionists, they're colonists. They took over. They came in and they took the land that belonged to the Palestinians in the first place. Our students, our university, the universities in the United States, anyways, the colleges, are made to raise up a socialist society. Kids who don't know what the truth is and are just believing the lie. And, you know, you're raising up a generation of people, you know, coming out of college who are going to hate Israel, and that's going to filter through. Okay. So this is an end time event that confirms how close we are to the tribulation. It's also another alarm to the church. We got to get busy about the Father's business. Okay. We need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We got to get our priorities straight. Hey, Jesus is coming back soon. Not coming back tomorrow, but he's coming back soon. What are we doing? Are we praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Are we ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we preaching in our church on Sunday morning? God wants to bless you. God's in your corner. It's all about you. Or are we preparing our people for the end? There are, one of the problems I have with these mega churches, you know, Elevation and Life Church and you know, Bethel, and, you know, they're great music. You know, I'm not talking about their, you know, the bad theology or anything, but most of these popular churches preach a popular message to draw people in. It's a self-centered message that God loves you. You know, God wants to bless you. You know, it's all about you. What can God do for you? And God's got this. Don't worry. God's going to protect you. God will protect you. God, of course, God wants to bless you. How many churches are actually saying Jesus is coming back really soon? You got to get right with God. You got to get rid of the sin. You have to get ready. Right. As a matter of fact, if you look at the parable of the virgins, the five that didn't make it, it says, I think it says 25 verse 10. It says those who were ready went into the feast. It's never been about the oil. What does the oil represent in the parable of the 10 virgins? Who cares what it represents? That's not important. The important thing is they were not ready. Are we getting our people ready? That's the key thing. Okay. And I talk about that in my course. I did it's a 6-video course on the end times. Okay. So that's basically what I wanted to share with you today. It's just my heart, just the kind of what's going on, and not, we know what's going on. Just read the news. Look what's happening. Look at the pictures. Look at the videos. But why is it happening? What's the purpose? Why pick a fight with a nation that can destroy you? Because they're trying to get the world to turn their backs on Israel so that they can finally do the conquest that they want and go in and destroy Israel, which is not going to happen because we know God is with us. But even though we say, well, it's okay, we're good. God's going to take care of Israel. We don't have to worry about anything. No, thousands of people are dying. Thousands of people are crossing the threshold into eternity without Jesus Christ. That's horrible. So we, the church, got to pray for that. We got to pray that the people will see Jesus Christ and come to him for Lord, as Lord and Savior. We got to get right with God, right? And we have to make sure that we're understanding when these things happen and the nation begin to turn on Israel, we know why this is happening. So prophetically, we're at the beginning. We are at the beginning. Look up, your redemption draws near. So that's my heart. That's what I want to share with you today. Again, I want to share things in our, and when we get together, as to what's happening, what's current, why it's happening prophetically, you know, what's happening prophetically. Again, this, I hope I didn't disappoint you about, you know, you want to know exactly how prophetically this fits into the clock and what, you know, no, but it is a prophetic sign that we are in the beginning of the end. I believe Jesus can come back in the next 7 years. I don't, you know, that's just me. No one can set a date. But again, I talk about a lot of these things, about the rapture, what kind of rapture, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, you know, I'll be honest, I don't believe in pre-trib anymore. It's in my course, but here's what I want to do. For those of you who are online, I know Katie, you're listening, maybe get this out to Ashley, but if you're here, I want to give you that course for free. Okay. It's my course. I can do whatever I want with it. So if you want to take my end time course on Eagle Worldwide Training Center, right? Then it's yours for free. Just send an email to Ashley. Say, hey, Pastor Miguel said I can watch this course for free. Send an email to her and she'll send it to me. I'll give you a coupon code. So you go onto the website, all right? And then you buy the course, you put in the cart, but at the end, you'll see, enter your coupon code. You enter the code, it'll be a free course for you, right? So for those of you who braved this tonight and to hear me rambling on and on, course is yours. You can take it. It talks about the end and what to expect. But so, yeah, so thanks for joining tonight. And let's pray. Let's pray because we are in very troubling times. So, Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that even though Jesus said in Matthew 24, the first thing he said was, do not be deceived. And we thank you, Father God, that we are not under deception because we have the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. Father, we thank you that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive what the Holy Spirit is doing, Lord, what you're doing in these days. Father, even though wars and rumors of wars and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and the Muslim nations rise up against your people, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Whatever that looks like, whatever it looks like, Lord, we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. Father God, that Jerusalem, that Israel is the apple of your eye, and that you spread your wings over your people, over your city, over your nation. Father, we speak divine protection, Lord, even as a mother hen wraps her wings around her chicks. I thank you that that iron dome and the celestial lasers, that their weaponry system protects us from all these missiles coming in, wanting to bring destruction to your nation. Father God, that you would even supernaturally intervene, Father God, and protect your people Israel. Father, I pray that in these times of war, these times of fear, these times of uncertainty, that you would open up the eyes of your people's hearts, that they would see the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that long awaited for Messiah, that you would give them dreams and visions and revelation. Father, even the Palestinians, they need Jesus too, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that they would see Jesus Christ in a dream. How many stories do we hear of all Muslim people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because the man in white appeared to them and said, I am he, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Father, we ask that you would just reveal yourself to the Muslims, to the Palestinians, to Israel, Father God, that they would come to know the one and true Savior, because there is no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we just pray for minimum bloodshed, minimum death, Father God, that this thing would be over, Lord God, that aid would come in, Father God. And Lord, I just pray that we can't pray that this would stop, Father God, because this is your divine timetable. But I pray, Father God, for just the minimizing the loss of innocent life, babies and kids and innocent people who are stuck in the middle of a political warfare. Father, I just pray for all the supplies that need to come in, the food, the medicine, Father God, the water, that you would lead people out. Father God, that those that would need to be targeted will be targeted, but not the civilians, not the innocent people, Father. We pray protection over them, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray just a prophetic blessing over everyone here tonight, that our spiritual eyes and our ears would be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. That you would, Father God, we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us in prayer. Show us how to pray. Teach us what to pray. Tell us what to pray, Father. How can we pray effectively for the peace of Jerusalem and for your people and for the situation? And Father, we just pray just divine protection over each one of your people, Father God. We just bless Israel right now in the mighty name of the Lord. And Father, bless each one of us that's here tonight. Thank you, Father God, you give us dreams, visions, and revelation. Reveal to us how we ought to pray, what the things that we ought to do, Father God. How can we do our part, Father God, in this part of your everlasting plan? And Father, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. We thank you for your goodness, your peace, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thank y'all for coming. Thank you for being part of this. We're going to meet one more time. Last week
this was November. Awesome.
We're not going to meet in December. We'll just give you that date quickly. The last week of November will be the 23rd of November. Will be the last session for this year. And we'll see what happens in June. But I hope you find that informative, that you were blessed by it. And yeah, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Praise God. So I guess, Katie, you can stop the recording now, I guess. We're done.
Thank you.